Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wake up, y'all. We got Sixers basketball today. Good morning on this day, Friday, November 22nd. This is your Clap Your Hands Morning Sixers Update, giving you all the Sixers news you need to know, as well as what to keep your eye on. It's your man, James Jackson, on a game day today as we get ready for the Brooklyn Nets tonight at the Wells Fargo Center in what will be, to me, one of the most interesting and probably tension-filled environments that we have seen from the Sixers in a very long time, considering everything that has come out in the past 4 or 5 days or so. So we will be monitoring all of that before we get into all of that and more. It's your man, James Jackson. Thank you for ending your week with me, TGIF. Make sure you're following me on Twitter at JimmyJ23. Make sure you're following the podcast on Twitter as well at Clap Your Hands Pod. Tonight of all the nights, man, I'm going to be down at the Wells Fargo Center, and I'm going to be tweeting it and detailing my observations on just how everything is tonight as the Sixers come back home from what seems like forever they were on a road trip, just because of how much transpired from Monday until now. But you're going to want to keep it locked and you're going to want to stay tuned. Let's go through the agenda of the morning pod on a game day. We're going to go through the schedule, some scores around the league last night of teams that were in action, have to do with the Sixers, some injuries, news. And then on the other side of the break, I get into my analysis, three things to watch for on this game tape. So tonight, the schedule is tonight at 7 p.m. The Sixers take on the Brooklyn Nets. It's an NBA Cup game. So the Sixers go and try to get their first win in the group stage for the NBA Cup to try to, you know, make a late push to try to get to this tournament down in Las Vegas. But their road to that path, or their path to that, it starts tonight against the Brooklyn Nets, 7 p.m. in the Wells Fargo Center. So either stay tuned or get down there to try to watch the Sixers get a victory. Let's move to some scores around the league, some teams that we should keep an eye on, have to do with the Sixers. Not many in action last night, really only one in the Sixers division, that is the Toronto Raptors. They actually surprised the Wolves 110 to 105 in Toronto. It's only Toronto's fourth win of the season, so kind of jockeying with the Sixers and the Wizards right now for the worst records in the league, but they get to four wins. Now, RJ Barrett with another strong game, 31 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. It seems like whenever the Raptors win, it's because RJ went crazy or had a good game. He does that again today. Chris Boucher also with 22 off the bench, so impressive for him. What's more noticeable than the Raptors getting a win is Minnesota losing again. It seems like they might be, you know, leaking oil just a tiny bit. This is the same team that went to the Western Conference Finals last season and had kind of a breakout season over there. And Minnesota made a big trade right before the season started. So still adjusting to some new pieces, and those new pieces are, you know, very influential pieces, right? Not pieces that are just going to kind of sit in the corner. That's Julius Randle over there. We know that guy likes to, you know, have the ball in his hand. So it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment period for Minnesota. They sit at 8-7 currently right now. So, you know, just trying to find themselves a little bit and get back to, you know, the great basketball they saw last season to take them to the Western Conference Finals. Let's get to some injury updates because we have a big one for Paul George and that left knee. The Sixers announced yesterday Paul George will be week to week with his knee injury. Paul George has suffered yet another bone bruise to that left knee. He will miss these next two games for the Sixers, Friday and Sunday. Deja vu. Really in the worst way. You can even see the still image of Paul George, like that knee locked up kind of in the same way against the Grizzlies that it did in the preseason game against the Hawks very earlier this year. So the Sixers announced that the next two games he will be done after, you know, he hyperextended that knee again, like I said, the same way he did in the preseason. So he's going to miss tonight's home game against Brooklyn, Sunday against the Clippers, and then he's going to be reevaluated on Monday to see where he goes. But right now, considered week to week, and just, you know, two minor knee injuries to start the season for a 34-year-old. Just not ideal, any stretch of the imagination. But the MRI that he got yesterday did show no structural damage. So, you know, as good of news as we can possibly hope for this situation. And let's just hope that the reevaluation on Monday shows that Paul George is ready to go and will return soon for the Sixers, because we got 5 minutes of the Sixers' big three on the court together. We were all so excited to finally see this big three, to finally start to turn the corner. We got 5 good minutes, right? And Paul George was out. So we will hopefully get that back together on that, as I say, the big three back together on the court very soon. Let's move to some news, because there are still more crumbs dropping from the Sixers team meeting that was held on Monday after the loss to the Miami Heat in Miami. And I think just, you know, for the next, you know, maybe a couple of days to a week, we're just going to get small details and things still starting to kind of, you know, leak out. And as we sift through, as the dust settles, there's just going to be some findings that we have. So here are the news clippings of just the past couple of days of what's come out of that. Lou Williams on his podcast actually reported that he was on the phone with several Sixers players, quote unquote, several Sixers players, the morning after the meeting or day after the meeting. He first noticed that Joel and Tyrese Maxey were both on that call with Lou Williams, laughing with each other in good spirits. Seems to be no tension between the two of them. He also said that multiple players on that phone call said that this situation has been blown out of proportion by the media, as players will do, as personnel will do. No doubt that this is, you know, some kind of damage control that I don't doubt that Sixers players, whether it's Reese or Joel in particular, said that to Lou Williams so he could say that to the public, so we all could kind of calm down with what's going on. No doubt that there was a part of that, but I also, you know, have a lot of merit in what Lou Will says. A very respected guy around the league, played for a lot of teams and never had any bad things said about him in the locker room or by another teammate or by anybody. So I do take a lot of value into what Lou Williams says, and if he feels the need to address the public with something, I don't think Lou Will is the type of guy to kind of fake the game, right? To kind of push a false narrative for another person that doesn't benefit him at all. So I do believe what Lou Will says, and you know, hopefully everybody has moved on or is starting to move on within the Sixers locker room from what happened. But they all say from their camp that, you know, what that interaction between Tyrese and Joel wasn't a huge deal. And Joel echoed the same thing. He had a little more ire in his voice, though. He spoke about it after the Sixers 117-110 loss to the Memphis Grizzlies in Memphis. And B commented on what happened with Tyrese, but his focus was first on the fact that the meeting got leaked out in the first place. He told reporters, whoever leaked this is a real piece of blank, Elliot. You know, ASP doesn't like me cursing on the Daily Pod, so I won't. But you guys know what he says. Whoever leaked this is a real piece of blank. But then added, but then even then, we talked about a lot of things. I don't want to get into the details, but that whole thing, meaning the situation with him and Tyrese, took probably 30 seconds. So There is I'm not surprised at all that from the Sixers angle and the Sixers point of view, especially from Joel Embiid and people around him, that they're trying to say that, hey, this was not a big deal. Yes, it happened. Yes, Tyrese called out Joel Embiid. Yes, they had a moment, but it wasn't full of tension. It wasn't full of malice, and it was very quick. Embiid accepted what was said and was moved on. So if that was truly the case inside the Sixers locker room, we should start to see them turn the page as a team, right? We should start to see them move on and move forward if this truly wasn't that big of a deal, okay? Now, Embiid also mentioned that, or there were a report that mentioned that Embiid might try to find who leaked this report, and that right afterwards that a lot of people believed that he was on the hunt to find out who snitched and who took this out. And I really hope that's not the case, right? I understand he's mad. I understand he's upset. I understand he feels disrespected by that news coming out. But there are much bigger things to worry about and to focus your attention on than trying to find the locker room rat.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's simple. You got a 2-12 basketball team in which you're still right now considered the leader of. Way bigger things to worry about than trying to go Detective Joel and figure out who done it. I just don't want that to be your focus. But those are the tiny news clippings that have come out still since, that locker room meeting that, you know, they say is not a big deal, but it can't help but dominate every piece of news that comes out from the Sixers. So we'll continue to monitor the results in the wake of that. And hopefully that all comes to a conclusion, you know, very soon. But we will see what the atmosphere is tonight at the Wells Fargo Center. I'm going to take a break. On the other side of the break, let's preview this matchup tonight with the Brooklyn Nets. My three things to watch for Emirates NBA Cup night for the Sixers. Stay tuned. Welcome back, y'all, as we get ready for this game day tonight against the Brooklyn Nets, 7 p.m. back home at the Wells Fargo Center. The Sixers await a very anxious, a very disappointed, a, you know, very tension-filled fan base that they will come back to tonight. It will be a sight to see. But there's also a game to be played, and I think we have to preview that. Before I do that, make sure you're following me on Twitter and make sure you're following the podcast on Twitter at JimmyJ23, at ClapYourHandsPod on Twitter. My three things to watch for tonight as the Sixers take on the Brooklyn Nets for their third Emirates NBA Cup game of the group stage, 0-2 so far in NBA Cup game group play. First thing I'm watching for I talked about the vibes earlier, and I think I've put the vibes as one of my things to watch for in one of my earlier kind of daily pods, one of my daily pods earlier in the season. And it's more than just the vibes that I'm watching for, more than just how the team looks, because this is as much of a quote-unquote must-win game in November that we're going to get. You heard Elliot and I talk about how Wednesday's game in Memphis might be a must-win game. And now that the Sixers are coming back home, now that the dust has not settled from this team meeting, it seems that there's been no resolution and no conclusion about it, then I just think that this, now that they're coming back home for the first game at home, I think is what makes this the must win. Before we talk about anything basketball or anything on the court, I think we just have to address the context in which the Sixers come into this game. All of that drama, all of that turmoil, all of that happened on the road, away from reporters, away from the Sixers fan base. And now they return to a city that I said can't be any more anxious, can't be any more disappointed with how this season has started. A fan base has also a lot of people, let's just be honest and call a spade, are ready to jump ship and declare the Sixers irrelevant until they prove them otherwise, right? Are ready to not encourage a team anymore, but are ready to kind of turn the blind eye until they're forced to pay attention or support a team that's proving them worthy of support, right? Like that's what a majority of this fan base is ready to do. And it may not be the case inside the locker room, right? Internally, the Sixers may not feel that they need to win this game to save their season, or if they don't win this game, that they're not going to have time to make up for anything, or that maybe that it's better off that they should just try to focus on draft position. Like, I don't think that's where they are inside the locker room, right? That's more for the fan base. That's more for the vibes. That's more for, like, the culture of the team, right? Like, it's like, to be clear, right, I don't want to say a must win because of the standings and because of how they can get out of a playoff race, right? I'd like to get out of the basement of the league and the basement of the Eastern Conference literally as soon as possible. We could start that tonight with a win against the Nets. They dug themselves in a hole for sure, but there still are 68 games left in this regular season, right? That's a whole lot of basketball to be played. It's a whole lot of time left in the season. So for making, like, the playoffs wise, for at least just making sure to get into a play-in or playoff situation, I don't view this necessarily as a must win, right? As a, if they lose, the bottom is falling out and they cannot make it up, like, mathematically or wins wise. That's not what I think. But for a saving the season kind of feel, for a we can turn this around kind of feel, for a we can not lose our fan base and not lose our fans kind of deal, it's a breaking point. I do fear that. I do fear that this is it for kind of that reason, right? Because all of that happened, but fans didn't see you with their own two eyes, right? You didn't do that, and you didn't lay eggs in front of them after all this happened. Like, I do think that if you come back tonight and beat, for all intents and purposes, an inferior team in the Brooklyn Nets, right? Forget about the records for a second. Paper on paper, talent on talent, an inferior team that you should beat. Like, if you come out and bury the Nets tonight, have a strong showing, right? And let all the fans have a happy Friday night and enjoy the day just for one night, just for one day in Sixers land. Let everything be good. I think we can start to turn the page and start to turn the corner for a season. I'm a big believer in winning cures all. And we need the first dosage of that remedy tonight against the Brooklyn Nets. The second thing I'm looking for is the Sixers controlling the paint, man. Is trying to be able to. I know. I probably say this at least once a week, right? Like, I'm starting to sound like a broken record, but as long as it's something the Sixers struggle with, but I still see opportunities to succeed, I'm going to point it out. And the Nets present yet another prime example of a team the Sixers need to win the battle in the paint and start building that muscle and building that skill for better opponents to be able to do to other teams, right? Because if you can't do it against the Nets, you're not going to be able to do it against 90% of the rest of the NBA. And the Sixers should be able to control the paint and both the rebounding department and points in the paint. And probably use that to get to the free throw line as well. The Nets rank right now dead last in the association in rebounding and rank 28th in block shots. To be fair, the Sixers rank 28th in rebounding for themselves. And I believe they're like 25th or 26th in block shots. Now, majority of these games are played without Joel Embiid, which is a big reason why the Sixers are so down in those categories. But regardless of who's in there, I don't anticipate much resistance coming from the Brooklyn Nets inside the paint. And this is huge for Embiid, right? Who started to look better against Memphis, but is still working his way back. And you saw that aggressiveness just turn up against Memphis, which was big because that's what everyone was a little kind of worried after what he showed against the Miami Heat, just not being aggressive enough. Zero free throw attempts against the Heat, which if you're Joel Embiid and you have zero free throw attempts, that just means you weren't trying, right? You know he's one of the best foul baiters in the league. You know he's one of the best players at creating contact, initiating contact, and getting to the foul line. If he got zero free throw attempts up, that's on him. But against Memphis, 14 of 14 from the stripe. That's how you bounce back against that and show some aggressiveness. I think he can go and do the same thing against the Brooklyn Nets, right? I talked about how Memphis wasn't going to provide much resistance from Embiid on the inside without Zach Edey and with Jaren Jackson Jr. kind of being out of position. And there was only going to be one way to stop him, and that was going to be to foul him. It's kind of the same way against the Brooklyn Nets. So he should take advantage, and I want to see the Sixers as a whole control that paint, man. If they're the last team in the league at being good in the paint, let's just be better than them, okay? The last thing I'm looking for is to start building consistency. And I realize that this is something I most likely won't be able to measure after just watching tonight. But I'm gonna do my best to start to see where I can find or see some consistency across the board out of this Sixers team from pretty much everybody, right? But for this team to get better, pretty much everybody has got to be a little bit more consistent. I understand with the lineup changes and all these moving parts that it's not a super easy thing to ask for a lot of players, but they're going to have to find a way to do it. There are guys on this team who know what their role is, right? Minutes might change, a starting lineup, a spot might change, things here or there might change, but your role overall pretty much stays the same. And we need those guys to do their job on a nightly basis, right? It can't be always so dependent on if Joel is in there or not, if Tyrese is in there or not, if Paul George is in there or not. You have to go in and do your job. You have to be the baseline and the bottom line while things at the top are changing. Be the foundation while things at the top are changing, right? Paul George had a new episode of the podcast Peace Show drop the other day, and go check it out because he detailed what happened in the locker room by his accounts as well, Reggie Jackson's on the show. And he mentioned in his latest episode that Jeremy King can't be the only consistent player right now on the Sixers. And while that is a painfully obvious statement, I mean, gut-wrenchingly obvious, it's true. And I completely agree with it. And Paul George knows himself that when he comes back, the output that he was giving was not good enough. And he can see across the board that the output that everybody else is giving besides Jeremy King is not good enough. The youngest kid on the floor can't be the only person who looks like he's got to figure it out. That cannot be the case for a team who aspires to make deep playoff runs and to go and win a championship this year or next. Simply unacceptable. Guys like Andre Drummond are asked to do very specific things. Got to do them. Guys like Eric Gordon are asked to do very specific things when he enters the game. Got to do them. Guys like Caleb Martin are asked to do kind of specific things. Got to do them. And if we do them tonight against the Brooklyn Nets, it should be a victory. Right? We shouldn't have too many problems, but I'm talking as if this has happened all season, and it is not. So let's turn the page, all right? Those are my three things to watch for tonight as the Sixers go on against the Brooklyn Nets. Do the Sixers treat this as a must-win, as the fan base is kind of treating this as a must-win? Can the Sixers control the paint against probably the worst paint team in the NBA? And let's start to build some consistency. It starts tonight. It starts with certain players. It starts with a win. It's NBA Cup night. It's going to be a very interesting atmosphere at the Wells Fargo Center. I will be there to detail it all. But until Monday, everybody stay safe. Don't do anything I wouldn't do. And have a great weekend. I will see you on Monday.